It is only in recent years that I have come to know the writings of 14th century anchorite, mystic, and visionary Julian of Norwich, whose writings on God have become increasingly popular in Christian circles over the last few decades. As an English anchorite, Julian would have agreed to be walled up for life in a cell attached to a church. In her case, the church which is now called St. Julian of Norwich in Norwich, England. From this cell, she had a window through which she could see and hear church services, and a window through which she could see and hear the world outside, as well as offer spiritual counsel to those who stopped by. I, along with countless others, am intrigued by her writings, by her descriptions of the feminine nature of God and Christ, her deep appreciation of nature, and by her honest wrestling with the concept of sin. Indeed, there are many lessons in her writings and much on which to meditate. But since the start of the pandemic, one sentence of St. Julian's has repeatedly played in my mind, "And all will be well, and all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well." This sense of wellness, of wholeness, is the root of the Hebrew word shalom, which has become an accepted word in English, often appearing in English dictionaries. Shalom is embroidered on wall hangings for both Jewish and Christian congregations, and on the lips of a friend greeting or saying farewell to us. For most of us, shalom is simply another way to say peace and offer warm greetings and farewells. It is, however, much more than this. In the Old Testament, shalom can mean the absence of conflict. It can mean inner contentment and fulfillment. It can describe personal well-being and good health. And it is used to characterize peace among nations or harmony among peoples of different races or socioeconomic groups. In all of its rich diversity, shalom can be a synonym for salvation, of God's work of reconciliation among people, with the whole of creation, and with the Creator. Shalom is the promise of God given to the Israelites returning from Babylonian exile to Jerusalem some 7 centuries before the time of Jesus, and facing the awesome task of rebuilding their nation, a promise which we find in Psalm 85. Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who fear God or revere God, that God's glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Like the Israelites coming to grips with the harsh realities of rebuilding their society after exile, there is much for us to mourn right now, and especially in this holiday season. Even without a pandemic, far too many of us experience a blue Christmas, the loss of a spouse, loved one, or close friend who is not with us for the holidays. And pandemic isolation this year can simply make matters worse. St. Julian's prayer that all may be well feels so elusive to many of us. But shalom is more than a promise from God. It is also a call to action. Righteousness and peace will kiss, writes the psalmist. Now, the word righteous has many negative overtones today. It conjures up stereotypes of rigidity and judgmentalism, of fake piety and religious self-righteousness. But in the scriptures, righteousness is a hopeful, positive word, describing the way we live our lives under God's rule. Righteousness and peace must kiss, writes the psalmist, for the promise of salvation must be realized in human lives. In a moving editorial about her recent miscarriage, published in the New York Times over Thanksgiving, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, wrote about her sense of personal loss. When I was in my late teens, I sat in the back of a taxi zipping through the busyness and bustle of Manhattan, she writes. I looked out the window and saw a woman on her phone in a flood of tears. She was standing on the sidewalk, living out a private moment very publicly. At the time, the city was new to me, and I asked the driver if we should stop to see if the woman needed help. He explained that New Yorkers live out their personal lives in public spaces. We love in the city, we cry in the street, our emotions and stories there for anyone to see. I remember him telling me, "Don't worry, somebody on that corner will ask her if she's okay." Now, all these years later, writes the Duchess, in isolation and lockdown, grieving the loss of a child, I think of that woman in New York. What if no one stopped? What if no one saw her suffering? What if no one helped? I wish I could go back and ask my cab driver to pull over, she says. This, I realize, is the danger of siloed living, where moments sad, scary, and sacrosanct are all lived out alone. There is no one stopping to ask, "Are you okay?" Meghan goes on to suggest that this is the most important question that we should be asking each other right now. Are you okay? For it is in those sacred moments of personal sharing and deep connection that we can claim those words of St. Julian, and all will be well, and realize God's promise of peace. But shalom is much more than personal peace or inner peace. American economists this fall coined a new term to describe our haphazard recovery from the brief recession last spring. A normal recovery is V-shaped. The economy goes down in a recession and comes back up in recovery. But this recovery, they say, is K-shaped. The top line of the K, going upward, describes those fortunate enough among us whose 401ks and IRAs are doing quite well thanks to a booming stock market. The bottom line of the K, heading downward, describes the millions of Americans who have lost their jobs, whose unemployment insurance runs out, who wait in long lines in food pantries around the country, and who are facing possible eviction. What will it take for these folks to utter St. Julian's words, "And all will be well"? Well, I think it'll take a Congress to set aside its partisan bickering and pass a relief package before they adjourn for the holidays. It will take resources for more unemployment insurance, funds to help countless small businesses through the crisis, and an extended moratorium on convictions, among other measures. Righteous action for public shalom calls for no less. Mother Teresa once said, "If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other." This is the lesson for us as we grieve the loss of personal and public shalom right now. Once again, the words of St. Julian of Norwich haunt me, "And all will be well, and all will be well, and every kind of thing will be well." I realize these words are much more than a naive statement of a hermit. Julian did not live in a world without fear or chaos. There were the French and English wars and the Black Plague. But she was able to see and understand that all would be well. St. Julian understood, and her words call us to remember, a God who created out of chaos, who meets us in chaos, and whose love and presence remind us that in spite of ourselves, all will be well. This does not mean that all wars will cease. This does not mean that we will soon be able to look upon our fellow human beings without fear or suspicion. And it certainly does not mean that we will not experience the great pain of loss of loved ones. But as each of us mourns our private and public losses in this blue Christmas season, Psalm 85 is an invitation to live into Julian's words. The shalom of God is the wellness, the wholeness intended for all of creation. We may need a place of comfort right now, but as we find our rest, we must have the courage to live into our shalom, to work towards that shalom, and to say to one another and pray for all of God's children, Shalom Aleichem, peace be upon you. And all will be well. All will be well. And every kind of thing will be well. Amen.